is 7:35 in the Twin Cities, 87 degrees still, so that's obviously pretty warm. Well, this half hour and next hour, Dave Schultz is back, so I can't wait to talk to him. But this hour, we are going to talk with Twinkle Zaman. She is the author of Girl Hate, Why Are Some Girls So Hateful to Other Girls? And Twinkle, am I saying your name correctly?
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I love the name, too. It's an awesome name. Is that your real name?
Yes, it is.
That is just absolutely great. Let me ask you, because this is something that I think a lot of people hear about, you know, that it was that, you know, the movie Mean Girls. I mean, it's been out there. And there are, I'm fortunate, I do have a teenage daughter, and I am very fortunate, knock on wood, that we have not had this problem. But I remember, you know, going to the parent-teacher conference in, I think it was about fourth grade. And one of the things they asked, well, are you having any girl problems? And I kind of like, I wasn't exactly quite sure what she was referring to. Then I said, okay, of course, I know what I'm talking about. I said, no, I think we're good. But for some people and for some parents and I know have really, really had a tough time trying to help their kids through this. When you wrote, why did you decide to write the book?
I wrote the book, I mean, it talks about a lot of things, but one of the topics in the book is, you know, the mean girl topic, why women are so hateful towards one another or negative towards another or tear each other down, because I didn't notice it as much when I was younger. I honestly didn't have very many mean girl situations growing up. There was always competition, you know, who would make this team, who would do that, who would have better clothing or, you know, the regular stuff. But as I've stepped into adulthood now, I see it more frequently with who has a better car, who, you know, is moving up quicker in life, who, you know, is dating who's getting the better job. And it's all, I hate to say it this way, but I feel like it happens within friend circle more than doing it towards a stranger. And that's what I don't understand, why you would want to tear someone down close to you more than someone who you don't even know, you know?
Okay. Well, and that's interesting. So it's this. You're saying that's something that you've encountered. I know that other people I know have encountered it. And there have been questions along the way about why some women are not more supportive of other women's efforts in terms of, you know, getting a promotion, you know, advancing more. What is your main theory about why this happens and who is most vulnerable to it?
I think it happens out of insecurity. If I could say why it would happen in my own friend circle, you know, it doesn't happen often. I don't want to say I have friends like that because I don't. All my friends are amazing. But if I see anything, I think it comes out of insecurities of your own. Because when you're insecure about something about yourself, it's so easy to tear someone down without even noticing that you're doing it.
So you're saying that those who are the mean girls are themselves insecure?
I think so. I mean, that's what I witnessed a lot. And I know this could go many different ways. Sometimes it's not always about what you're insecure about. It could be something totally different. But what I witnessed the most with women my age, it's something that they're not happy with about themselves, and they're, you know, they don't mean to push someone down or not congratulate somebody or not be happy for someone, but they're just so unhappy with themselves that they don't even notice that, you know, how they're acting isn't very nice.
Right. How about, you know, but don't you think that the people who are most affected, I mean, are themselves perhaps insecure? In other words, you're always going to have, and maybe because I've sort of led a public life, you know, and you're always going to have the really negative comments or the, you know, catty comments or people, you know, saying one thing or another. And at some point, you've got to be able to sort of let it roll off your back. And I think for some people, that's harder, even if it's about clothing, if it's about something else. I think for some people, letting it roll off their back is much tougher. For some people, these things affect them more. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I agree. It is hard because it's hard to understand why you would want to put somebody down or why they would say something, even if they didn't mean it. Certain comments you can't help but take personally because, you know, when somebody says something good about you, it's easy to forget about that. But when someone says something bad about you, you're going to sit there and analyze that. I know I do.
Right.
So I agree. It's hard when somebody says something. It's not easy, whether, you know, it's somebody close or somebody not close. Either way, I think it's going to affect you. I know personally it does affect me when I hear something negative said about me.
In terms of, you know, the book, and again, we're chatting with Twinkle Zaman. She's author of Girl Hate. What are some of the other aspects of the book that, in terms of, you know, what people can do about this, or perhaps, you know, how we can deal with this?
I think we as women just need to build each other up and motivate one another and inspire one another. And, I mean, it's easy to tear somebody down. It's very easy. But I think it's even harder to build somebody up. And if you can build someone up, that shows more of who you are and your character than tearing somebody down.
And why is it that girls, I mean, why does this not happen with guys? Are women just more sensitive, or are they meaner, or what is it?
I don't know. Women, I mean, I feel like we're emotional. We take everything to heart. We're just more sensitive. And guys, I don't know. Guys just have it so easy. Like, you can say something not very nice to a guy, and they're not going to take it to heart, or they may, but they're probably not going to show it as a woman does. And they just have it easy, even with their friend circles, the way they handle conflict. The whole dynamic is so different, men and women. They have it so much easier than us. That's how I feel.
Okay. Tell us more about sort of the origins of the book and how you got to the point where you were going to write about this.
So the book, it's actually called 20-something, and I named it 20-something because everything that I wrote about in that book, I really feel in my heart is everything someone in their 20s is dealing with, whether it's women not treating each other very nice, not being happy for another, or being hateful or two-faced or whatever. And then there's stuff in there about, you know, love and romance, and also about the struggles of just growing up and chasing after your dreams and going after what you want to do and still having to make a living and support yourself, but still not giving up on those dreams and your heart's desires.
And so do you think that this is something that's sort of more difficult now for 20-somethings, I mean, many of whom are struggling with college debt and, you know, paying back loans and wondering, you know, should they decide to go back and live with mom and dad? Or is it, you know, something that's always been something difficult? It's not an easy time, your 20s, when it's the post-college and you got to kind of make it on your own.
I think, this is my opinion on this, I think that it's always been difficult. I don't want to say it's more difficult now because I don't know how it was back then. But I think our options are limitless now. We have so many more options, you know. And I think people, my parents' age, people in their 50s or their 60s, they think in a very traditional manner. So it was growing up, going to college, getting married, having kids, a very smooth path. Even though you may have bumps along the way, that was the way you thought your life would be. It was the way to go. Now I feel that we have more options. Like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids in your 20s? Do you want to settle? Or do you want
And statistics show that more women are opting actually not to have kids in their 20s.
Right, that's what I've been reading as well, yes.
Right, I mean, the growing, the largest percentage of growth in terms of people having babies is actually in their 30s, even 40s. And why do you think that is? I mean, why is it that women in their 20s
that
are putting off childbirth?
That goes back to my opinion. That goes back to, I think, the fact that we have more options now. We don't have to be married. We don't have to have kids. We, as women, we are able to do so much more now. And I think maybe back in the day, people, you know, they didn't have as many options, and maybe they were afraid to go after what they wanted, and things were just different. But now, the time we're living in, we don't really have to depend on a man. It feels kind of good to say that. Not everyone wants to depend on a man, or they don't want to start a family so early, or they want to do something for themselves and make something out of their own life before they settle down and they have kids. And I love that that's an option, that, you know, you don't have to graduate right out of college and be like, okay, time to get married, time to have kids, and go through the same routine that everyone else is going through.
All right. My guest is Twinkle Zaman, and the book is actually called 20-something. In terms of those decisions, is some of it, you know, in terms of, I mean, I just, most of the young women I know, all of them have attempted at least to do the dating scene, the online dating scene. Maybe that's not where they ended up finding, you know, somebody to date or a relationship. Does that make it easier, do you think? Because there are so many options in terms of online dating now.
I think, okay, personally, I'm not a fan of online dating at all. If there was anything...
Aren't most people sort of experiment with it, or at least try it a couple of times? And actually, I've known a lot of young women who are, you know, very attractive, very successful, who actually have found their husbands on online dating sites.
Yes, yes. I mean, I hear those stories often. I'm not going to say I've never experimented with that, but it does give you more options. I think it's different, though. I think online is very much different than actually, you know, seeing somebody for the first time in a coffee shop and just having that instant chemistry. Because when you're typing words back to each other, you may see a picture from, like, 5 years ago, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So it's different. I personally love that instant chemistry with somebody, because you can feel it then or there. But with online, you can be telling somebody something who you think you're attracted to, and then you meet them and you're like, oh no, that is not what I thought, and that is not what I saw.
Yeah. Interesting. But most people, you think, and how about you know, decisions like, you know, buying a home? Because I think a lot of younger people I'm talking to, you know, are postponing that.
They are. And also what I'm noticing more and more is a lot of women are investing in homes themselves. It's no longer because, you know, they're married and they have a man in their life, or because they have children. They are young, successful women going out there and buying a house for themselves. And I think that's great. I actually met somebody a few weeks ago, and I was amazed, because we were so close in age, but she was so successful in her life, and she was building a home, her dream house, and I was just in complete shock, and I was like, wow, like, I don't know what to say. I think that's amazing.
Right. Although I know a lot of people are delaying those decisions in part, you know, for finances. I think a lot of 20-somethings have been kind of scarred by seeing their parents go through the recession a few years ago.
Yes. I think
you know, seeing their parents sort of struggle or suddenly lose all, you know, a whole bunch of the home, their own home's value, you know, seeing their parents go through that really tough time has had a lot of 20-somethings go, I don't want to deal with this.
Right. I think it's also kind of acceptable to not be a homeowner or to build a house right now. As much as the pressure is on for us in our 20s, I like how that pressure on, like, buying a house and settling has kind of been lifted just a little bit, because I feel like when you come closer to your 30s, people expect you to have some kind of a foundation, And I feel that it's been lifted just a little bit for us. And it feels good to not feel like the pressure is totally on that. If you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Twinkle Zaman, the book is 20-something, and I assume, I know, I can see it's on Amazon. Is it available other places as well?
It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they can also check out my website, twinklezaman.com.
All right. Well, Twinkle Zaman, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You are listening to News Radio 830 WCCO. Let me give you the WCCO 750 in the Twin Cities, the WCCO time check. Certified Cadillacs on sale up to 40% of the original.